Well, hello, and welcome to radio. Yep, I'm back. I just decided with the new year, I miss doing my podcast. I don't care if anybody listens or not. I don't care if anybody listens to the radio version. I just want to do it, if that's okay with you guys. I'm back, and I was thinking, since it was the holidays, not this year, but last year. Remember, radio is like completely off the top of my head. I don't do a whole lot of planning when I do this thing. It's just kind of like I start talking about what I'm thinking about. And we had the holidays, and my son, Justin, came home from London this year like he did last year. And last year, I'm recalling he wanted to go to see a new Spider-Man movie, which was cool because I like Spider-Man movies. So we went to see a new Spider-Man movie. Thing was, we went to see it at a drive-in theater here in Denmark. A drive-in theater in the wintertime in Denmark. Now, the fact that a dinosaur like a drive-in theater still exists is enough. The fact that it's in Denmark and in the wintertime is even more incredible. And when we went to see it, it was cold. We covered up with a bunch of blankets inside the car. Occasionally, they would actually tell you, you know, turn on your car for a moment, run the heater, turn it off. You know, but the thing is, they knew they were well prepared for people like me, because here's what happened. Battery died. They were walking around when the movie was over. They were walking around with their portable battery charger, hitting the 5-6 cars that had a battery die during the show. And we were one of them. We stood there and waited for them to get to us, my wife and Savannah and Justin. And we sat there and we waited. We stood outside and they came. Portable battery charger hit us up. And we went on. And we watched whatever Spider-Man movie it was. Had our own popcorn and stuff in the car. It was just a wonderful experience, a driving experience. And I got to thinking about drive-in theaters in general. They were a big part of my life when I was younger. And I often wonder if the people that live in Sagamore Run now on Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland, realize that their homes are like resting on hallowed ground, man. I mean, this housing development, do they know that they are living their daily lives on soil that is soaked with magic and dreams and gallons of spilled Coca-Cola and acres of dropped popcorn on the sacred spot that used to be the Shore Drive-In Theater? In its heyday, back then when I was a kid, the Shore Drive-In was a Pasadena, Maryland icon. Everyone that drove up and down the mountain road there kept an eye on the marquee to see what was coming up on the weekend. Now, I looked this up because I wasn't sure, but when it opened back in 1954, the Shore's 115-foot screen was advertised as the world's largest. Now, driving down Mountain Road from Tick Neck Road, yes, I grew up in a neighborhood that had a road that was named Tick Neck Road and one that was named Hog Neck Road. You could catch a glimpse of Elvis, you know, on the beach doing the clam, or maybe, I don't know, Julie Andrews flying around with that umbrella. When I was a kid, I had literally, now this is true, I had no idea that people went to the movies indoors. I thought every film came complete with the scent of car exhausts, playground noise, little crackly, tinny, barely audible speaker hanging in the driver's side window, and that background rhythm of everyone in their car, you know, slapping at the mosquitoes that slipped in through the opening where the speaker was hanging. I still think that most Elvis songs and the soundtrack of A Hard Day's Night just sound somehow wrong if you hear them on a set of good speakers, because I heard them on that little crackly metal box speaker. One of my dad's cars, he had an endless parade of fixer-uppers. This was a noisy, rusting, exhaust-belching, used to be black at one time, like 1958 Lincoln Continental. I don't know where he got this beast, but its only redeeming feature was it had a power rear window that retracted down behind the back seat. Now, this left a little opening that was perfect for my sisters and me to sit on and enjoy, you know, I don't know, chitty chitty bang bang with our heads hanging out the car and our feet dangling on the back seat. My mom and dad would pass us Cokes and popcorn and those steamy hot dogs that come from movie theaters that have, let's say, a questionable lineage. They'd pass those all through the windows. You know, going to the Shore Drive-In was an all-night affair. There was always a double feature, along with a couple of ancient but well-known and, of course, well-loved cartoons at the beginning. Cars would start lining up at the payment booth on the dusty gravel road in the late afternoon. On summer nights, it had to get warm. Well, it did get warm for the teenagers stashed in trunks to avoid paying the entrance fee. Kids under a certain age got in free, and as I recall, my dad, who could squeeze a nickel until the buffalo bellowed, baby, would have said I was under 12 until I was married and shaving, unless my mother hadn't finally made him stop that nonsense. It's hard to describe the experience to anyone who never had it. As sunlight starts to fade, everyone would start, you know, flashing their lights on the screen and blowing their horns and signaling to the projectionist that it was time to start the movie. Many of the films of my childhood, I remember them like in the washed out hues of a Maryland hot summer evening. Now, after the first film was over, the kids would head over to the playground. When we got older, our parents would actually let us go by ourselves. These were different times. Hands would be held and romances started and ended and promises made and broken all in about, you know, 12 minutes or so. We were prepping ourselves for the time when we were like teenagers and parked our own cars in the back rows of the drive-in. And everyone knew what went on there. Well, at least to my 12-year-old self, the rumors were incredibly interesting. We always knew when it was time to head back to the car for the second feature by watching a little clock that ticked down in the corner of the screen while hot dogs and hamburgers danced and cups of Cokes cavorted on the screen as the final feature wound down. The end of a long night was always signaled to us kids probably asleep in the back seat by a disembodied metallic voice announcing,
"The snack bar closes in 10 minutes. The snack bar closes in 10 minutes.
The first time I ever heard Darth Vader speak in one of those fancy indoor theaters, I recognized his voice as my old pal from the Shore Drive-In Theater. The snack bar and the Shore itself closed down for good way back in, gosh, 1978. As the years went by, it was sad to drive down Mountain Road and watch the screen where I first saw Woodstock, Bambi, Girls, 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 and so many other cinematic masterpieces crumble and fall apart. So perhaps it's a good thing that a nice community has grown up in that space. I hated seeing the empty speaker posts standing like, I don't know, abandoned metal soldiers waiting for that prehistoric Vader voice to announce one more time,
"Please remember to return your speaker to the post, and thank you for coming to the Shore Drive-In Theater."
Now, I promised myself and the listeners to radio that I spoke to about redoing the podcast that I would keep it short. The last time when I finished it up, a couple of things happened. I tried to expand it into a 50, 60 minute kind of thing, and people just don't have time for that kind of stuff anymore. Back in the day when I listened to talk radio, listened to Gene Shepherd, listened to the other people I admired, yeah, I mean, we had different attention spans. A lot of times I was driving back and forth between Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, New Jersey, whatever, in my car. And so I had time to sit and listen all night, but people don't have that anymore. So the one thing that was consistent is like, dude, we love the podcast, especially when it was a shorter deal. So I'm going to keep it shorter, 20 minutes, a half hour. That'll be the max. But I got to thinking about something else while I was thinking about drive-ins. You know, I went to drive-in theater a lot with my brother, Kenny. Now, we were brothers, Kenny and I. And those people that would tiresomely point out that our dads were really the brothers, well, they've never really lived inside our skin or looked at the world through our eyes. Because from cowboys and Indians to mini bikes and ponies to country and rock and roll bands and girls and women and the endless broken promises and broken hearts to go along with all of that, we had each other's backs and healed each other's scars. We were brothers, Kenny and I. We slept over and we talked into the pale summer mornings and about where we'd go and what we'd do in our lives. And there was always a space in our lives for each other. It was just the way it was, and that's the way it was going to be. We were river rats, man. We were pig farmers, dirt balls. As our farm-based world became more suburban and the ugly boxes where our cornfields used to be filled up with pretty families, we heard all the jokes. People laughing at us. But when they needed a donkey for the Spanish club float and the homecoming parade, they knew who to ask, didn't they, Kenny? And then came the music. And then no one could touch us. We blew them all away. All of them. We started at absolute zero. We sucked. God, we sucked. But we never stopped. Once you've been laughed at by a pretty girl because you had pig shit on your shoes one grade school morning, a few derisive comments about your version of satisfaction bounce off, well, like water off a duck's back, man. And yeah, we had ducks and pigs and chickens. We had it all. But we got better. A lot better. We were a working class band. Now, our daddies did everything they could, but if we wanted it, we had better find a way to get it, even if it meant being a little creative. So Northeast High School was without a PA head for a few assemblies, and the town of Glen Burnie may have wound up short a JBL speaker or two one Christmas season. The statute of limitations has run out, I guess, and it was cold up on that pole, and anyway, baby, that's rock and roll. We are brothers. Kenny and I. We pushed that little working class rock and roll band to places we could have never imagined. I could never quite close the deal for the big time for us, but the times we had, the stories we could tell, and some we damn well should not tell. Splitting one Anne's footlong five ways. Five extremely binary heterosexual men huddling together unashamedly, wrapping our bodies around each other through a freezing West Virginia mountain night because our old van had no heating and the gig came with no accommodations. But the gigs, man, we opened for some of the best and we blew many of them out of the room with our last chance band. What we lacked in musical proficiency, we made up in heart because we're brothers and our combined hearts and your drum kit, it could just beat out a rhythm that filled dance floors and brought the people to their feet, night after night. And then it was just over. The band had been our only language for so long that we'd forgotten how to speak any other tongue to each other once we decided the band had run its course. Being in what we always called the civilian world together, it just didn't fit for us. You had found your Tony, your only love, and yeah, man, not gonna lie, I was a little jealous. We'd meet up sometimes, not often if the truth be told. We'd tell a few tall tales, exaggerate the winds, and retreat back into our own corner of the world. And then, like so many other people these days, then came the politics of both family and country that built a wall between us that was so tall and so deep and so long that both of us, just busy with our own lives, we just let it stand. I missed my brother, I did, but, you know, life is full and busy, and if he doesn't get why he's dead wrong about everything, then to hell with it. More than a decade of to hell with it. So many times I literally reached for the phone, looked for the profile, and then I got the sad word that your Tony, your good wife, was going to die, and that you wanted to talk to me. And so we talked. And the 3,000 miles and the politics and the years between us faded into nothing as we both poured out our lives and our hearts down the wire one more time. We told the old stories, you know, caught up, walked very tenderly and carefully around the hurting places, and perhaps sewed the first stitch of the old man's coat that we wild boys can share in the years to come. I will forever regret the lost years with my brother. I will regret not dropping by and during one of my trips home to say hello to Tony, who was a good woman and who was my friend through all of the years you guys were together. Even when we weren't speaking, I'd run into her when she was working, and she'd say hi and tell me I should come by. And I never did, and I regret that. You always thought of me and called me the smart one. But funnily enough, it was your love and your willingness to give yourself completely to your life with your partner that helped me stop my endless series of superficial relationships and find someone that I could truly share life with. Kenny, I've learned more from you than my pride ever allowed me to tell you. I don't think I'm the smart one. Not even one little bit. I still rarely see you, and I'll never see Tony again over politics. How incredibly sad that is. And neither of us can fix what has gone on or know what's to come. Be here now. It's my mantra. It's all we can do. But I promise, man, I'll be a little bit more here with you from now on. Because we are brothers. So that's radio for today. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're glad that it's back. I'm glad to be doing it again. And I got a lot more stories to tell. Going to definitely try to get one to you every week. Take care of yourself. Don't forget my book, A Father's Heart, which is a collection of songs and stories just like this one, is available at Amazon. The best version in my mind is the audiobook because you get the songs and the stories and you get to sit and listen to the whole thing together. Make sure, wherever you find this, you give it a like, 5-star review, tell people about it. I am going to be compiling these new stories with some new songs into a book that I think I'm going to call Radio. I hope you'll be interested in that in 2023. Meanwhile, thanks as always for listening. See you down the road. This is Radio, and I'm Ray Weaver.